It's time now for prayer in the name of Yahusha, the Messiah, praying for our brothers and sisters, friends, enemies, associates, students, fellow workers. We pray for the world, for Israel, for the United States of America, and about the five international sins that are being practiced, like idolatry, adultery, sodomy, Sabbath breaking, and abortion. And we'll be going to Revelation chapter 2. Let's bow our hearts in the name of Yahusha HaMashiach. Heavenly Father, we esteem you higher above all. Yes, Almighty Father, Yahweh, thou hast given us all these treasures, all these blessings, and all your creations in order to prove that even that you exist, and for us to enjoy and be blessed, and all the seasons, summer and winter, and a few seasons in between, depending upon what part of the country. And thou hast given us the opportunity to come before thee in the throne room of the Almighty Father through your Son, Yahusha HaMashiach. And now I would like to read some scriptures. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you. Thank you, Yahusha the Son. Yahusha is speaking to the assembly at Smyrna in Revelation chapter 2, verse 8, and unto the messenger of the assembly in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, the Aleph and the Tav, which was dead and is alive. So now we know that the Messiah is resurrected. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, that thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not. They're supposed to be Jews physically and are not, but are the synagogue of HaSatan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. It's going to be a piece of cake there, with Messiah helping us. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. Now that's probably symbolic there, may not be 10 literal days. 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the assemblies. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. And to the messenger of the assembly in Pergamos write, these things saith he which has the sharp sword with two edges. That's the word. That's the scripture. The sharp sword with two edges to cut and to heal. I know thy works, where thou dwellest, even where HaSatan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where HaSatan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. You know, that's happening here amongst us in the Messianic assemblies. Some of us still hold the doctrine of Balaam, some of the inherited traditions from the Egyptians. And we continue, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things offered unto idols. So there's still idols here in the New Testament. And to commit fornication. Now, it's still possible for a believer to commit fornication. They have a great sin there, spiritual fornication as well. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. So he does still hate things. He doesn't love everybody, everything. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. That's the word that comes out of the Son's mouth. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the assemblies. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knows, saying he that receives it. Then on to the messenger of the assembly in Thyatira, there in verse 18, but we're going to go now to chapter 9. Let's go ahead to chapter 9, verse 20, and the revelation of Yochanan the Immerser. on this time of prayer. Verse 20, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols, idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood. That's what? Are you kidding me? Even in this time of the modern age of the New Testament? Yes, it still exists. Ladies and germs, idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. It sounds kind of like a Christmas tree there. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. In Isaiah chapter 19, verse 1. So we're going to the older scriptures now, but it's still looking ahead to this present time. And I say Isaiah. I may have meant Leviticus, but let me check here. It's talking about the burden of Egypt. So let's read on here for a few moments. Isaiah 19, the burden of Egypt. Behold, Yahweh rides upon a swift cloud, and shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt. Okay, that's the right passage. The idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. And I will set the Egyptians against the Egyptians, and they shall fight every one against his brother, and every one against his neighbor, city against city, and kingdom against kingdom. I believe that the word Egyptians there could be applying symbolically to more than just the people of that part of the world, but possibly spiritually to a lot of us. Verse 3, and the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the counsel thereof, and they shall seek to the idols, and to the charmers, and to them that have familiar spirits, and to the wizards, and the Egyptians will I give over into the hand of a cruel lord, and a fierce king shall rule over them, saith the Master, the Sovereign of Hosts. Isaiah 19 speaks judgment against us in our adulteries, in our, of course, our fornication, in our sodomy, in our Sabbath breaking, in the abortion, and in adultery of consisting of divorce and remarriage, even within the assemblies and the churches. Five of our national sins. So we pray, mighty Yahusha, the Messiah, to the Heavenly Father, esteemed above all, Heavenly Father, by the blood of the Messiah that was slain for us on the tree at Calvary 2,000 years ago, and by the power of thy word and the power of thy spirit, may you remove from us this bondage of being in idolatry and spiritual fornication, and amongst our ignorant brothers, our ignorant sisters, who are so haughty, they even flaunt the fact that they are divorced and remarried. They flaunt it on the Christian radio. Oh, here's my new wife. She's the owner of this store over here. And she makes such fine silken or whatever products. Yes, they boast about their wicked national sins or international sins. And Heavenly Father, we pray that thou wouldest bring a correction, perhaps in mercy, perhaps in strict mercy or strict judgment to this fornicating world about us and even amongst ourselves in the body of Messiah. In Yahusha's name, praise the name of Yahusha, and praise the name of Yahweh or Yahu in the short version. Yah or Yahu, that's the Heavenly Father. Jeremiah chapter 10. As we speak of this time about us, we may have a word or two about Hanukkah, but I really want to address this heathen season that is about us here for a little bit during the time of prayer, and then pray against that. That's our next thing about idolatry in Jeremiah 10. You all know that, but it needs to be repeated much in here about the doctrine of Balaam in chapter 9. But in Jeremiah 10, hear you the word which Yahweh spoke unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith Yahweh, learn not the way of the heathen. So right there, we could stop if we wanted to, and just leave it at that. Leave it to suffice to say that learn not the way of the heathen. That's repeated throughout the scriptures in 1 Corinthians and 1 Corinthians 5, 6, and 10, and Ephesians 5, and 1 John 5, 21, and 1 Thessalonians 1, 9, and which we're going to read some of those, most heavenly Father. So let's continue here. Thus saith the word of Yahweh, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain, for one cuts a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe, they deck it with silver and with gold. Now I don't know what that would compare with in our modern day society of what human being actually cuts a tree out of the forest and decks it with silver and gold and fastens it with nails and with hammers that it move not. I don't know. I can't think of, could it be the Catholic religion that began this custom of Christ Mass? And then the Protestants picked up. It was forbidden in America to bring a Christmas tree into the church until the 20th century. It says, they are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. In other words, the tree has to be carried by something else, by a great big truck, or by a human being. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. So it's not talking about the tree, of course, it's talking about the people who are into these systems of Babylonian customs. We don't need to be afraid of them, but we don't need to be overly judgmental of them either and get into a great anger. By the way, adultery there is spoken of in 3:8, Jeremiah 3:8. I kind of like to put these clump these scriptures together so you don't need to need a flare and a compass to navigate all over the scriptures. And I saw, when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but even went and played the harlot also. Well, I should explain here that our husband is not able to just divorce us if we are unfaithful to him. But during this betrothal period, he is. We are in a betrothal period. We're not already married to our husband, to Yahweh in the heaven, but we will be. So that's why it was possible to give a bill of divorcement to Israel and to us, which Israel includes most of us these days. Ezekiel 8:10. I have much to share today of scriptures. I hope I don't use too much film material like the proverbial teacher in the classroom that has to say so much. Ezekiel 8:10 says, so I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. The idols of the house of Israel were up there in some sort of paintings on the wall. In Ezekiel 8 and in chapter 14, we'll get to see these things more specifically as we read on. We can just kind of read the whole chapter here, but I think I'll go maybe half of it, of the 23 verses. That's Ezekiel 14. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me, and the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart. So people always have this saying, my heart is right. Well, how do they know that? Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart, and certainly we have, as a nation and as a world, international world, we have set up idols in our hearts, and we put the stumbling block of our iniquity before our face. Should I be inquired of them at all by them? So, son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Also read 8:18. Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith Yahweh, sovereign, every man of the house of Israel that sets up his idols in his heart and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to the prophet, Yahweh will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Yeah, it's still a big problem. It's a, you know, big issue. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith Yahweh, Yah, repent and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourns in Israel, which separates himself from me and sets up his idols in his heart, and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and comes to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, Yahweh, will answer him by myself. I will set my face against that man, and will make him a sign and a proverb, and will cut him off from the midst of my people, that you shall know that I, Yahweh, am Yahweh. And if the prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, I, Yahweh, have deceived that prophet. And I will stretch out my hand upon him, and will destroy him from the midst of my people, Yisrael. Skipping to 13, Son of man, when the land sins against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and I will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. And it talks about Noah, Daniel, and Job. And verse 20, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith Yahweh, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. Actually, it was the previous chapter where it, prophesying out of their own hearts there, that's even more specific about the problems there. Let's touch on some of that. In 13 of Ezekiel, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear you the word of Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. You have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge, for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of Yahweh. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, Yahweh saith. I've been in the assembly of God years and years ago, and that was a very common rampant thing there of some woman standing up prophesying out of her heart. Of course, there may have been some woman who prophesied from Yahweh. when there is, you know, when there's prayer to be made here, why isn't there repentance spoken of? How can people assemble in the village square with all different religions gathering there, that some of the leaders of those religions certainly are practicing sodomy and idolatry and abortion even, and how can they lead us in a prayer? Is Yahweh going to hear their prayer? The word says no in the book of Psalms and some other citations, which we've already listed in this house. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, Yahweh saith, and Yahweh has not sent them. They have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. And the rest of that is pretty interesting. Verse 10, because they have seduced my people, saying, peace. And there was no peace. One built a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. And then verse 22, because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad. Boy, hallel to that, because I can certainly agree that I've become sad and sighing and crying and grieving for the abominations that are done in our midst. Haven't you? With lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way by promising him life. And therefore you shall see no more vanity, no divine divinations, for I will deliver my people. No divine divinations. That's the same English word there. The root divine is in divinations. Divination. For I will deliver my people out of your hand, and you shall know that I am Yahweh. There's his signature. There's I am. Sometimes the word am is inserted there to make the sense, but that's his signature. That's the Son of the Father, Yah. or Yahu, who is speaking on behalf of Israel, of us, of his betrothed wife, that we are in adultery and we need to repent and get out of there. Get in the belly of the whale and spend some time repenting there. Ezekiel 23:37 says, "They that have committed adultery and blood is in their hands, and with their idols have they committed adultery, and have also caused their sons, whom they have bare unto me, to pass for them through the fire to devour them." There's more idolatry going on amongst us. "Moreover, this they have done unto me, they have defiled my set apart place in the same day, and have profaned my Sabbaths." They profane Yahweh's Sabbaths. Acts 15 is another powerful citation here that confirms for those out there who may not believe in the older scriptures and so-called Old Testament. There's many witnesses and citations, many references to authenticate that idolatry is still a sin and still practiced amongst us, and we must repent. O Heavenly Father, forgive us by the blood of thy Son. Help us to repent and be forgiven. Certainly we return to our sins occasionally, unintentionally, without premeditation. Sometimes we just fall back into our old ways or something, and something or someone, or we're still responsible. But the village out there, the atmosphere, the environment sometimes is an influence on us. Of course, it's not a good influence, but it's usually a bad influence on us. And Heavenly Father, we ask that thou wouldest provide a way for us to escape from these temptations that are about us, of our environment, of our culture, our Babylonian culture that tends to make us not have faith, not have the word of Yahweh in our hearts. And we have that. We don't need their help. We already have the natural tendency in our hearts to make us want to go from thy word. So help us to do this. It says here and now, praise Yah, thank you, Father, in Acts 15:20, "But that we write unto them," the apostles saying, giving instructions, "but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood." So we're to have our food properly prepared. It's not supposed to be, the animal is not supposed to be killed with, in a way that would cause the blood to remain in there. It has to be drained out as much as possible. 1 Thessalonians 1:9 now. So we must properly prepare our food. I'm not actually koshering my food, but I do cause the meat to sit overnight or two or three in the refrigerator in heavy salt. And that helps take out a bunch of the garbage. 1 Thessalonians 1:9 says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to Yahweh from idols to serve the living and true Yah." They themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turned to Yah from idols to serve the living and true Yah. And then, 1 Corinthians, as we go back, turn back, that is, to 1 Corinthians 5:11, which is not very far, two books back, 1 Corinthians 5:11. "But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother, if he be a fornicator, or covetous, or idolater." It's still possible to have an idolater amongst ourselves, in our midst here, that is. "A covetous person, or idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner." There's many, many of those about us that are not fair in their trade. They deal treacherously at their business. When you come in, they may tell you something that's not true and try to extort money out of you, or worse. You can think of all kinds of examples, of course. I'm not going to list them all, and I don't know them all. "A drunkard or an extortioner, with such as one, know not to eat with him." And it talks about judging there. And then the next verse, But them that are without Yah judge, therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. So if they're within your assembly, you're supposed to put them out, as well as many, many other scriptures. Romans 16:17, for example. 1 Corinthians 11:30, I think, is one of them, but there's a lot. Like the next chapter here, verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 says, "Know you not that the unrighteous," and then it's going to define for us what the unrighteous are during this prayer time. I think this is more valuable to us and more profitable than just sitting around praying in general terms for peace. Oh, please bless us. Please bring us peace. Well, we're not really defining what the terms of our covenant are. We need to be keeping Yahweh's word and obeying here and doing some real technical things and not doing some technical things. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh? Be not deceived, neither. So what kind of people will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh? Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. So those who are divorced and remarried not by any proper means that we've understood here by the word, Deuteronomy 22. Adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, revilers, extortioners, neither of these shall inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are set apart, or sanctified, it says, I don't use that word. You are set apart, but you are justified, or I don't use, I use made right. You are set apart and made right in the name of the Master, Yahushua, and by the Spirit of Yahweh. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. Paul's not saying that abominations or that sinful practices or transgressions of the law or breaking the Ten Commandments are profitable unto him. No, he's just saying that everything that is not defined by Scripture, that all things he will do in a lawful way according to the Scripture. Another quote is 10:7, I believe, if my eyes are operating correctly here. I think it's 1 Corinthians 10:7. Neither be you idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. That's in Exodus 32:6, where they sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play, and they into sexual immorality that is abounding right now in our countries. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000, so 23,000, that one. Neither let us tempt Messiah, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. So they tempted Messiah. They tempted the Son of the Father, that he was there with them. He was the rock that followed them in the wilderness. Neither murmur, as some of them also murmured and also were destroyed of the destroyer. So murmuring, even though it's not specifically defined as being evil or sinful in the Scripture, right here it does tell us, and in so many other places and so many words, that we're not to murmur. So that would be one of my big sins there that I still need to work on. And try repenting. Try that. So we went to 1 Thess already, so let's go to 1 John 5:21, where Yochanan, the emissary in 1 John, which is somewhere in the neighborhood after James there, and before Peter. No, it's after Peter, but before Yehuda. 1 John 5:21, or maybe I'll cover a little bit more than that during this prayer time here today. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Hallel. Yes, little children, keep yourselves from idols. From idols, let us not get into the pagan celebration of Christmas. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray that thy Son would cleanse us from all unrighteousness and following the pagan ways and not by that we have not followed thy statutes and thy judgments. We'd allowed abortion to become to creep in and be a big thing in China and America. In Ezekiel 11:12, Heavenly Father, let me read this now for the audience. And all of you shall know that I am Yahweh, for all of you have not walked in my statutes, neither executed my judgments. And this includes many, many of the feast days that we keep here, like the Feast of Sukkot, Tabernacles, and Passover or Pesach. You haven't executed my judgments, but have done after the manners of the heathen that are round about you. No, they're certainly doing that. That's a big one thing that we're going to bring out here during this part of prayer time. And I'm throwing in some preaching as well. And that's okay. I can share and explain a little deeper what the word is, because I've navigated around, as most of you have, to the other passages of Scripture that talk about the same subject, the same topic. Deuteronomy 12, so we just went quickly to Ezekiel 11:12. You shall know that I am Yahweh, for all of you have not walked in my statutes or executed my judgments. Now, Deuteronomy 12:2, these are the statutes and judgments which all of you shall observe to do in the land which Yahweh, the mighty one of your fathers, gives you to possess all the days that all of you live upon the earth. Verse 2, all of you shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which all of you shall possess, where they serve their mighty ones upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. Now, let me interject here that those should be in your personal possession. If you have any of these idols that were from the nations about you, then you should destroy them. But if there's idols that belong to somebody else, right now we're not under the civil administration of the law of Moses or of any great leader of significance, so that we don't just go around and destroy statues. Is I say that right? Statues around the countryside. There's a lot of that there. All of you shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars. So that's a direct command to the physical children of Israel that were present at that time, 5,000 years ago. You shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire. And all of you shall hew down the graven images of their mighty ones and destroy the names of them out of that place. All of you shall not do so unto Yahweh your mighty one. All of you shall not do so unto Yahweh your mighty one. You shall not do as they did, in other words. But a time will be coming when Satan is no longer in control of the governments, and that we will have the freedom to burn all these idols up and crush them and destroy them and help purify the earth for that great time coming there. But we have to wait on Yahweh to do that, not on some spiritual leader there of some messianic or other assembly. 1 Kings 14, Judah did evil in the sight of Yahweh, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they committed above all that their fathers had done. 1 Kings 14:23, they built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also Sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which Yahweh had cast out before the children of Israel. 2 Kings 16:2, 20 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign, and reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and did not that which was right in the sight of Yahweh, his mighty one, like David his father. Now, David his father did do right, so he didn't do like David his father did. He walked in the way of the kings of Israel. Yes, like we have many false leaders in our country, in America, and probably including Ronald Reagan. And he made his son to pass through the fire according to the abominations of the heathen, which Yahweh cast out from before the children of Israel. He sacrificed and burned incense in the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. Yes, Heavenly Father, help us to repent. Help us to get out. Don't be rubbing shoulders and involved in any way with this idolatry going on there around the winter solstice, the heathen season. 2 Kings 17, so they feared Yahweh and made unto themselves the low of them priests of the high places which sacrificed in the houses of the high places. They feared Yahweh and they served their own Elohim after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. Unto this day they do after the former manners of these heathen people. They fear not Yahweh, neither do they after their statutes or their ordinances or after the law and commandment which Yahweh commanded the children of Jacob or Yaakov, whom Yahweh named Israel. Or actually it was the Son doing all of this and doing all the speaking in the Old Testament, proven by many scriptures like 1 Corinthians 10:4 and 1 Corinthians 15. And all of you shall not fear other Elohim, but bow yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. But Yahweh, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and stretched out arm, him shall you fear, and him shall all of you worship, and to him shall all of you do sacrifice, or rather offering. And the statutes and the ordinances and the law and the commandment which he wrote for you, all of you shall observe to do forevermore, and all of you shall not fear their Elohim. And the covenant that I made with you, all of you shall not forget, neither shall all of you fear their Elohim. Now we read this same passage here last week or week before, so if it sounds like a repetition, it is a repetition, but it's not the same file that you might have listened to earlier here in the year 2013. Or thereafter, 14, 15. These nations feared Yahweh and served their graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers. So do they unto this day. Jeremiah 2 is another good one, that wash yourself with alkali and take you much soap. Let your iniquity is, yet your iniquity is marked before me, saith the Mighty One. How can you say I've not gone after Balaam? Then Isaiah chapters 1, 2, and 8. And let me just interject again here and get back to the prayer here. Our Heavenly Father, to help us get out of idolatry, out of sodomy, adultery, abortion, and Sabbath breaking. We pray for one another that these heathen seasons, to wit, the new year, the Roman new year, not your new year, or thy new year, that the heathen seasons are not a stumbling block to the saved Jews and Gentiles that are saved by the blood of the Messiah, and that they have new life through the power of thy Son's resurrection. We will not practice any of their customs, nor bring it into our traditions, which are commanded. Let us be inspired, energized, and encouraged by the Messiah, by Yahusha's pure spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh, by thy pure spirit. Praise Yahweh forever and forever and forevermore. Hallel unto Yahweh. And right now we're about 40 minutes into this prayer time, 40 minutes or less. And a word about Hanukkah. And no, not yet. We're talking about idolatry here, first of all. The word odyssey there is a strange word that I suspect that most of the Christian peoples have not looked up that word. It's pretty easy. There's a number of references. The Odyssey is the story of Odysseus's return to his home in Ithaca after, more like Greece, not New York, but it could include that. The term Odyssey originally meant the story of Odysseus, O-D-Y-S-S-E-U-S, Jesus, is come to, and in this course, the Odyssey invites you to ask yourself, what do you want your fate to be, your destiny, fate, and free will in Homer's Odyssey? There's a website there, 123helpme.com, and then there's a bunch of codes after that, too long. However, in the world of Greek mythology, and that's 123helpme.com, in the world of Greek mythology, fate does not just happen. The Odyssey, while talking to other Elohim upon Olympus, Mount Olympus, my word, how mortals, and I'm skipping a part here, to come home, and in the end, she gave up and began allowing suitors to come around, and Athena to wash her clothes. This Odyssey, an epic poem attributed to Homer, describing Odysseus's adventures in his 10-year attempt to return home to Ithaca after the Trojan War. And there's a program called Adventures in Odyssey by a Christian organization that seems like most of the community of Christians out there, at least of nominal ones, listen to that. It's a child's program, Adventures in Odyssey. But I would adjure you to look up the word. And we talk about the party out there. Somebody, a great famous messianic Hebraic speaker, said that Jesus wants us to party. He didn't even use the Hebrew word. He said, Jesus wants us to party. Well, maybe Iesus would want us to party, but I'm sure that Yahweh would not want us to do that. And then they want to have carnivals. Where's the word carnival from? It's from carnal. It goes back. Where does the word carnival come from? Ask.com or uk.ask.com. Where does the word carnival come from? The word carnival came to be from the Catholic followers in Italy when they started holding a wild costume festival just before the first day of Lent. Yeah, they had to let it all hang out, let their inhibitions go, and be free, man, be cool. And before they started fasting and giving up something or another, or abstaining, actually, they didn't, not too many fasted. Then you could even go to the, which I don't believe in the Wikipedia, but the Free Encyclopedia, and ask them what carnival means. Protestant areas usually do not have carnival celebrations, or have modified carnival celebrations. Folk etymologies exist which state that the word comes from the late Latin. The Italian word carnevale, or C-A-R-N-E-V-A-L-E, which means Shrove Tuesday. So let's think again, think twice, when these traditions are laid on us. One of the good traditions, normally anyway, away from a secular setting and atmosphere, is the Feast of Hanukkah, which begins on the Sabbath today, on this 30th of the 11th common month, 11/30/2013. And then you can find out when the other this 8-day festival, when it starts in other years, by going to Chabad.org. That's chabad.org/article, and then the code's in there. So maybe you can just find that out by Googling it in the Google search engine, or perhaps I could put it up on the website somewhere. Somebody could catch it. We need to make a covenant with Yahweh tonight, or this morning, wherever you are around the world. It's morning over there, or it's night over there right now. I don't know why they do this. You know, just because the sun is gone, and we're still in the sunny side of the street here, I guess. Ezra chapter 10. In the book of Ezra, which is near Nehemiah, and before the book of Psalms, Ezra chapter 10, the people said, "We have trespassed against our Yahweh and have taken strange wives of the people of the lands. So yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. Now therefore let us make a covenant with Yahweh to put away all the wives such as are born of them and such as are born of them." So the wives and the children. Now of course we're going to be responsible for their well-being anyway. For their welfare, that was it. We need to still be responsible. But put away the wives such as are born of them and are born of them, according to the counsel of my sovereign, and all of those that tremble at the commandment of Yahweh, and let it be done according to Torah. It says in Ezra 10:2, Yahweh's burden is light. When we walk the Torah, it was easy. It's an easy way. And it's an easy way to come out of Babylon, out of Romanized religion. Galatians chapter 4 says, "You observe days and months and times of year, and you observe days, months, times, and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I've bestowed upon you my labor in vain." Galatians 4 there, Paul talking to Galatians who are not Jewish. not of, necessarily of Israel, although they certainly could have been. We should be coming out of Babylon and use the non-Romanized Hebrew name of Yahweh. And we pray in the name of the Savior to the Heavenly Father, who will answer our request if it's according to His will, that all true believers will get out of Babylon. And no more breaking the Sabbath, no more fudging of the Sabbath. If there's five Sabbaths in the month, we're still going to meet somewhere. We'll find a place where we can still have a Sabbath service. It's not written in the Word anywhere that if you have five Sabbaths in a common month, that then we can just not do it, not have Sabbath. So Heavenly Father, forgive us for Sabbath breaking. We confess our current sins, such as they did there in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah 9:2, and the seed of Jacob separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers, so the bad traditions. And they stood and confessed their sins, the iniquities of their fathers, and they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the sovereign, Yahweh, one-fourth of the day. Another fourth of the day they confessed, and they praised their sovereign, their Yahweh. That is found in Nehemiah chapter 9. Oh, what a beautiful time it is, an opportunity to stand before Yahweh in His throne room. And we give Thee praise, Heavenly Father. We pray that You will deliver us from all of our foolishness, all of our monkey business, all of our adulteries, and idolatry, and of this this murdering children in the womb. A lot of black children have been murdered, millions and millions, not only by Muslim but around the world, by English-speaking people. Pastors' daughters have murdered their children so as not to embarrass the pastor. In this crime of abortion, we need to come out of that. We need to come out of Sabbath breaking and to read Your word, see what it says there in Hebrews 4 about the Sabbath and Isaiah 58 and Isaiah 66, Isaiah 58 and Isaiah 66 to read about Thy word. And to go to the book of Psalms next before we close here and make it about a full hour today. If Thy would, Father, we go to Psalm 100. And also 107. So 107 verse 11 is the next quotation or proof text or praise unto Thee or testimony against the children of Israel as well as their descendants, which includes most of us. Psalm 107, 11 through the book here. 107, because they rebelled against the words of Yahweh and contemned the counsel, or condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto Yahweh in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. In another place in Psalms it says He brought them to their desired haven. Well, maybe it's not our desire, but anyway, He puts that desire in our heart that becomes pure then. And He brings us to His desired haven for us, that place of protection, that wonderful place of Petra during the tribulation. Oh, that men would praise Yahweh for His goodness. This is in verse 15. And for His wonderful works to the children of men, for He has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Praise Thee, Heavenly Father. We praise Thee today. My friend DeWalt Yah, I think he's in Southern Africa. He lifts Thee up. My friend Eddie in New York, and others in India, Seattle, San Francisco, L.A., in England, certainly, they lift Thee up today and praise Thee in Thy Son's name. Praise Thee above and all, Most High, Yahweh, Master, Sovereign, Chief, our Chief, our Big Chief. We can use that word, and either in a
tribal way or military way or in a spiritual way. He is our chief. He is the chief, if you're from New Jersey. He is the chief. Psalm 107:17, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. So that's why war is coming to us, right? Well, I don't know. I don't know if war is coming to us or not in the United States of America. I don't know that for sure, but it would be wise to think that way, to be prepared, and then if it doesn't happen, we slid out of first base and got to home base, thanks to the sun. Thy soul abhorreth all manner of meat, or rather their soul it did, because the Father causes us to not want to be hungry anymore. They draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto Yahweh in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. 21. Oh, that man would praise Yahweh for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them offer the offerings of thanksgiving. That's a great American holiday, or pretty great anyway. Thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Yahweh and his wonders in the deep. Yes, praise Yah. And for he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths, their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto Yahweh in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He makes the storm calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So the waves are quiet. So he brings them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise Yahweh for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Praise Yahweh. Let's read Psalm 100. Praise Yah. And before we read the 100th Psalm, some of the other references that I didn't read today concerning adultery are Deuteronomy 22 and also about sodomy in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, specifically Leviticus 20, verse 13 and 15, or 13 to 15 there, Leviticus 20. Okay, and concerning idolatry is the pagan holidays of the winter solstice, the Halloween, Samhain, New Year's Day, and New Year's Eve, of course, with all the drinking and stuff there of the Roman New Year, and idolatry and worship of rock stars and different figureheads, especially in America, of pastors even, in some of the huge mega churches, as well as the tiny little churches. Sometimes the pastors are worshipped, and their word, or Ellen G. White's word in the Seventh-day Adventist, is taken over the scriptures. Or Russell in the Jehovah's Witness religion, sometimes it's taken over the word instead of what the word of Yahweh actually says. Sabbath breaking, we talked about that. Abortion, Leviticus 18:21, or abortion or murder, 18:21, and 20, 2-5. Also, 2 Kings 23 and Jeremiah 32:35, or other references there. That there are many, many other replete references concerning abortion. And then there is also an address I could give you that may or may not help. I have the National Pro-Life Alliance sending me mail here that they're doing special mailings to pro-life Americans to generate a tidal wave of petitions to Congress demanding an end to the Roe versus Wade and the barbarous policy of abortion on demand, to expand their program further with planned production and placement of newspaper, radio, television, internet ads to be run in target areas, and began preparing additional hard-hitting TV ads to run in key states so politicians who are wavering on the issue will feel the heat and come out solidly pro-life. And many, many other things here in their letter here, I guess. But and they sent me a certificate for donating a little bit of money. And then here's a campaign. The urgent letter says, thanks for my, let's see. I agree that it's vital we increase our campaign to mobilize every pro-lifer in America to force roll call votes and ultimately pass a Life at Conception Act to legislatively overturn Roe versus Wade. Help the National Pro-Life Alliance mobilize even more Americans on behalf of this bill as to pay for the expensive newspaper, TV, internet, and radio ads preparing. I am enclosing blank amount of money to the National Pro-Life Alliance, which is, wouldn't they have an address here somewhere? 5211 Port Royal Road, Suite 500 in Springfield, Virginia, 22151. The internet URL is www.prolifealliance.com. So I don't want them to hound you to death with petitions for, petition you for more money. But I was also thinking of a parallel thing here where, for example, the sodomy problem that is going on in America and around the world, that would we try to legislate that as well to keep them from committing sodomy, man with man and woman with woman and so on? Should we have a petition that would outlaw that? I think we're trying to come up with some way to control their behavior by law, by man's law, instead of by Yahweh's law. It seems like it would be better to use the scriptures and to proclaim the scriptures to bring out what they say about this particular phenomenon of sodomy, of this international sin of our world, and that we're going to be judged for different sins. I've got a list of five sins there: the adultery, idolatry, sodomy, Sabbath breaking, abortion, or murder there that's going on. But, you may have a different list, or if you'd like to add 50 other national or international sins to that. And certainly I've prayed for other things other than just these. I pray for myself first, that I would not slip into unbelief and great doubt. That's a great sin right there that I confess publicly here on the cyber waves there, where everybody in the world can hear that Stephan Yah is confessing that he has sinned recently, even with the with doubt. That's a big one there. Now, I'm not going to get into more personal things. Psalm 100 now, as we close. And I sneak out of here quickly at a convenient time. Psalm 100 now, with the five verses of the entire psalm. A psalm of praise unto our Heavenly Father. Make a joyful noise. Wait a minute now. Don't use that word. It should be sound, not noise. Because that could be anything. That could be a terrible cacophony. That would be objectionable to almost everybody. Make a joyful sound unto Yahweh, all you lands. Serve Yahweh with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know you, and make sure it's a good song, not one of these pagan things that they're doing out there, decking the halls. Know you that Yahweh, he is Yah. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For Yahweh is great. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. This has been a time of prayer for our brothers and sisters in the world, for Israel, for us, for the United States, for the five international sins that we have in common, to our Heavenly Father, through the Savior Messiah. And we believe that these prayers can be answered as we lift up our Father, and we thank him for his word, thank him for these scriptures, and the encouragement and the encouragement that he's going to return quickly. And his threshing instrument is in his hand. He's going to burn up that chaff amongst us, even in our own personal life, but also those around us who are not repenting. They're dishonoring their parents. They're not giving honor. I know of one daughter who has been out of touch with her dad now for over 4 months. And this Feast of Thanksgiving came up, this man-made feast, and she didn't get a hold of him at all. Didn't even say, "I love you, Dad," or "Hi," just one word. She didn't even do that. Any of you have a problem like that out there, I really feel sorry for them. And I'm proud of you. I'm even proud of myself. I don't know if I should be doing that, but proud that we can be responsible enough and mature and adult enough to stand up and say, "Well, I am faithful for the most part. Anyway, I'm not 100% or 110% faithful, but I am faithful. Faithful to Yahweh, I'm faithful to my family, I'm faithful to my people out there in the cyberspace congregation, on the internet, that is. And I've been faithful to my wife for 40 years. I have been faithful to her and never committed the big A sin there, not even in my heart or mind. And not that I'm anything greater, anything because of it, or any better than anybody else. But, you know, I think that I could truly say that I do love them, and that I love you, and that I love our Heavenly Father above all. Thank you for joining me this time on YahvehYahweh.name. And may we be blessed, and may the enemy be bound. May we bind Satan in the name of Yahushua the Messiah, by the blood of Messiah, by the Lamb of Yah, by the blood that He shed on the tree at Calvary for our sins, in the approximately year 29 for our sins. And He came to, you know, take our place on that tree, that we had the death penalty, but He paid it all in full. The debt has been paid and canceled. It's paid in full. And the Heavenly Father is satisfied because of this. Not by any works of righteousness that we have done, but by His mercy has He saved us. For by unmerited favor are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of Yahweh, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Messiah unto good works. Ephesians chapter 2, part of what I just prayed there. So I hope this has helped. And I will be looking forward to seeing you as we come before you in those robes of righteousness, those pure robes of righteousness, all spotless virgins, as the bride of Messiah, keeping ourselves prepared and cleansed and pure before Yahweh, according to your word, to thy word, that is, in Yahushua's name, Hallel, Yahweh.